The month of November is always dedicated to raising awareness around men's health issues, and we thought we'd join in today with a special focus on prostate cancer, one of the key concerns for men, particularly as they pass the age of 45. Like most cancers, early detection is absolutely crucial and really improves one's chances of survival. Interesting figures, 1 in 19 South African men at risk of being diagnosed with prostate cancer at some point in their lifetime. So it is really important that we encourage men to get tested. And to talk to us a little bit about how we detect this early, what a prostate cancer diagnosis means, and anything to do with prostates. Welcome back to the show to urologist Dr. Conray Moorman, who is based at Life Kingsbury Hospital. We've chatted to him before about his amazing work in robotic and laparoscopic urological surgery. And Conray, welcome back to the show. It's always great to have you with us.
Good afternoon, Papa. Thank you for having me again.
Let's start with the very basics around prostate cancer and why it's so common among men. It's not just here in South Africa, is it?
Yeah, it's a global phenomenon. It's the most common cancer that we see in men across all population groups. And like you said, 1 in 18 men gets diagnosed in their lifetime. And as we see that men are living to older age, the incidence of it is even higher. So it can go up to 1 in 5 sometimes. So, and men live healthier lifestyles. They in their mid-70s, they fit and healthy. And therefore, the prostate cancer is going to get picked up more as men live longer, and therefore mm-hmm. it's becoming more and more of a problem.
For those who don't know their anatomy too well, can you explain to us exactly where the prostate sits and what its function is in the body, Conray?
Yeah, of course. So the prostate gland is like a walnut-sized gland that sits underneath the bladder. As you empty your bladder, the urine almost flows through the middle of the prostate through the urethra. And the prostate is very important in fertility. So seminal fluid originates from the prostate, and the role of this fluid is really to give nutrients to the sperm. So it's very important during fertility years, but after that really doesn't have any more function.
So does that mean it can be whipped out if it's posing a potential health risk?
Yes, definitely. So, in men, we commonly start testing for prostate cancer from the age of 50. And in most men at this age, they really don't need their prostate anymore. It just becomes a bit of a nuisance.
Okay. Our first question is already through as a voice note. I want to encourage more of those. Please, 072-567-1567, as well as SMSs to 31567. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Pippa. A question for your guest. In his opinion, is the consumption of cooked tomatoes seen as a viable deterrent against prostate cancer? I'd like to hear his opinion. I've heard that it's a phenomenon, especially in the Mediterranean countries.
That's really interesting. Conray, have you heard that one before?
Yeah, so there's been lots of studies looking into the role of tomatoes. The red color that we see in the skin of a tomato is called the lycopene, and these lycopenes have been found to be protective against prostate cancer.
Okay.
Interestingly, like we said, it's in cooked tomatoes. So the effect of these lycopenes are better when the tomatoes are cooked. That's why it's better in cooked, and also like tomato sauce. And there's been lots of studies looking into it, some favorable, and others haven't really found much of a difference between the incidence of prostate cancer. But we do recommend it. It is part of the guidelines of dietary measures to be taken, and I definitely tell all my patients about it.
Okay, so a good bowl of tomato pasta with some basil, potentially playing a healthy role.
Absolutely.
There. Good. Conray, let's talk, while we're talking diet, let's talk about lifestyle factors here and what can be done to live a life that is less likely to lead to the development of prostate cancer.
Yeah, so, this is a very common question, and I think, prostate cancer is a genetic disease, but there is dietary and environmental factors that do play a role. We're not always that sure about exactly what it is, these factors that are playing the most what are the most important for you to achieve. There's the interesting thing that in the Far East, especially in Japan, the incidence of prostate cancer is exceptionally low. And in the Western world, Northern America, we find that the incidence is exceptionally high. But if you take a Japanese man or a baby and he lives in America his whole life, his incidence nears that of American men of developing prostate cancer. So we know there's a Western diet environmental factors that we get exposed to. So therefore, we focus from a dietary point of view. We know that diets with lots of fruit and veg and high in vitamin D, for instance, and omega oils, and particularly maybe the fact that we're exposed to high protein diets is maybe not always the best. So what I tell my patients really is just to have a diet, healthy diet, balanced diet, fruit and vegetables. You know, choose healthy foods over supplements, exercise most days of the week, maintain a healthy weight. All of these things play a role, and there's even evidence now to suggest that regular ejaculation is a protective measure in the development of prostate cancer.
Sure, a lot of people are going to be thrilled to hear that, Ms. Conroy. Okay. Let's talk about warning signs. I mean, as you mentioned, it is standard advice that men should be screened from the age of 50 onwards, but we also know a lot of them avoid it like the plague. What are the signs that something is going wrong, and is it too late by the time you're seeing those signs, Conroy?
Yeah, exactly. So we always recommend to our patients that they need to be checked, to have a checkup and have the routine test, you know, even if they don't have any signs. Because often we find that if there's signs, it might be too late or indication of advanced disease. So really, you don't need any symptoms to get your checkup. But symptoms that we find is like struggling to pass urine, maybe burning passing urine, blood in the urine, and then also discomfort or passing blood with ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, you know, all of these symptoms. And then more with more advanced disease, if you're struggling with new onset back pain, for instance, loss of weight, these things indicate that there might be underlying malignancy of the prostate.
We are talking to Dr. Conroy Moorman, who is a urologist based at Life Kingsbury Hospital in Claremont. If you have any questions around prostate health, please call us on 021-446-0567. Let's take another listen to another voice note.
Pippa, it's regarding the prostate. When you turn over 50 and you have no more use for it, I mean, is it advisable to go and get it removed regardless of whether it's cancerous or not, so you can just get it out of your system?
That's a great question. As much as women ask the question around preventative mastectomy, is there such a thing as a preventative removal of the prostate?
No, there isn't. You know, prostate cancer is, you know, although it falls under one umbrella, we see quite a variation in the aggressiveness of prostate cancer from one man to another.
Yeah.
So a lot of men have what we call indolent disease. Even when we diagnose them, they don't necessarily have to have anything done, and we can just monitor them. And that can go up to men with very aggressive prostate cancer that need to be treated immediately. So we like to diagnose before we just would consider just removing the prostate to know exactly what we're dealing with. So to answer his question in short, no, it's not recommended.
Where it does get to the more aggressive varieties, what sort of treatment is called for, Conroy?
You know, so for a healthy, fit man, we recommend the surgical removal of the prostate. And, you know, I do robotic surgery for prostate cancer, so I feel this is an excellent way of treating and managing disease with excellent long-term outcomes. And with robotic surgery, we see less chance of urinary incontinence, which all men are concerned about. And in selective cases, we can save the nerves. That's important for sexual function as well. So for me, I think that's for high-grade prostate malignancy, that's first choice. But, you know, radiation therapy is also very important, which consists of brachytherapy and implantation of radioactive seeds into the prostate in selective cases, external beam radiation. And sometimes it's a combination of the two, surgery and radiation. So all our patients, you know, we look at various factors and then we decide what is the best way forward.
Okay, we've got a couple of callers with questions on the line, so let's go to those next. We'll start with George, who's called us from Seapoint. Afternoon, George.
Good afternoon. I just want to ask the doctor if he had prostatitis as a young man around 20, whether I'm at any further risk going into my 40s.
Great question.
I just missed that part. What did he say, Papa?
He had prostatitis at around 20. Okay. Is there any heightened risk now that he's in his 40s, going into his 40s?
No. There's no link with onset of prostatitis with the risk later on in life of prostate malignancy.
Is prostatitis simply an inflammation of the prostate? Can you please explain?
Yeah, so you can get various forms of prostatitis, which means it's infective, which there's almost like a urinary tract infection. Men don't get urinary tract infection classically like women do. A lot of men present with what we call acute prostatitis. And it can also vary to chronic prostatitis, which is more like an inflammatory disease where the prostate flames up every now and then for various reasons, and then we treat it accordingly. But It's a completely separate condition of the prostate, and like I said, no risk really. Actually, it confuses the issue in a lot of situations because the PSA is often raised in men with a history of prostatitis, which makes it difficult for us to diagnose the malignancy. But from personal experience, men with prostatitis don't have a higher risk of prostate cancer.
You said an important thing there, PSA. Won't you just explain for those who don't really understand the term what that is, Conroy?
Yeah, so PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. It's an enzyme that's made by the prostate, and we use it as a guide to decide if somebody needs to be investigated further for underlying prostate cancer. So we use a certain value, and we also look at what this PSA value does over time. And if there's a rapid rise or a very high level we're worried about, then that would need a further investigation like a MRI scan of the prostate or prostate biopsy. So it's nice in a sense because it's a cancer where we have a blood test that can help us. It does have its own flaws. So it's not always the best test that we use, but certainly helps us in many cases.
Thank you for that. I think we can squeeze in one last call from Barris in Bloberg. Good afternoon, Barris.
Good afternoon, Doc. Well, afternoon. Just a question. I had mine removed 2 years ago with the robotic version, and I knew all about the side effects, you know, and the long term of it. And the doctor did nerve sparing, but since then it's been 2 years now. I've gone on the Cialis tablets. That hasn't worked. I've eventually gone to the injections now. Now I'm on the third kind of. I tried three times. It partially works for a stretch of short time, and the last time I tried it actually hurt me. Now I don't know if it's. I have to get accepted that it's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be able to have a proper erection, or am I doing something wrong, or is there no alternative besides implants?
Yeah, so with the injections, there is a group of men who unfortunately have to use injections to assist them with proper erectile function. You know, there's different strengths and different medications that we use inside these injections. So certainly if you've had a poor response or short duration, that can definitely be fixed. And even in men that get significant burning sensation or discomfort with the injection, we use different agents which has less risk of causing that annoying side effect. So there's definitely ways around it for you.
Good luck to you, Barris. Dr. Conroy, one last very quick question because several people have asked it. Are there other things besides cancer that can lead to prostate enlargement? Why do so many older men experience that?
Yeah, so there's a difference between prostate enlargement, which most men struggle with at some stage in their life, and prostate cancer. So a benign prostatic hyperplasia is a condition where the prostate starts growing with age, and then they start struggling passing urine, waking up at night, frequent urination, and so on. And this we manage differently. There's oral tablets that we use to relax the prostate, and if that fails, then we go on to do a resection of the prostate with cameras to widen the channel again so that there's a free flow subsequently. But a very common condition as well, but not cancer.
Dr. Conroy Moorman, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Always great to have you with us on the show. A urologist based at Life Kingsbury Hospital in Claremont, as I mentioned, specializing in robotic and laparoscopic surgery there. We really appreciate your input.